Amen. Brother Mike, thank you so much. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you know what? Honestly, we should be able to fill up the class time with just talking about the things in which we're thankful for, which is a big part of what we're going to do tonight, which is why you got to be here. At 5 o'clock in the main auditorium, we're going to enjoy a good time of singing and a quick message, probably the fastest message you've ever seen at Lancaster Baptist Church tonight. It'll be about 15 minutes, and then we're going to get our kiddos in the right spots, and we're going to go to each other's homes for a time of fellowship, and we're going to eat, and we're going to fellowship, and we're going to do what we just did. Just talk about the blessings of the Lord. How many of you work around unsaved people? Raise your hand. All right, the vast majority of you. And maybe it's not common in your workplace or in the break room or at lunchtime for people to sit around and just talk about, hey, what are you thankful for? What good has God done for you lately? But that's what we do here at Lancaster Baptist in our His Design class, and that's what the fellowships tonight will really be about. So I want you to come and be a part of it. I really believe you'll be glad that you did. This Saturday, we are going to do our Family Ministry Day. I think that was already discussed, and there's an insert in the bulletin about it. We do have a sign-up sheet. A good number of you have signed up, but we need to know if you're able to help us so we can plan accordingly. Brother Tobin, some other men will have these at the doors at the back on the way out. So we'll do it that way today for sake of time. And thank you for your flexibility with that. And then I did want to say good morning to Freddie and Osberto and June. Is that right? Right over here and with us today for the first time. Thank you for coming and being with us. Always means the world when somebody would take time out of their schedule to be our guest. Thank you. And be sure to get to know them, greet them, and thank them for being here and with us today. I hope and pray that you will do that. Ingrid, good to see you. And be in prayer for Ingrid. And then Vanessa and some ladies are just about ready to have a baby. So let's be in prayer for them. And Alex is sick today. You be in prayer for them. But we're thankful for the Lord's blessing upon our class. I'm thankful today to have some guests with us. I'm thankful today to have some folks that maybe have just spent a time or two that are coming and the Lord is knitting our hearts with theirs. I'm thankful for some new members that are in the Starting Point class and that'll join us tonight and then back next week, which will be a blessing, and we'll put the back rows back in. And seeing folks come and get rooted and grounded and really growing, it was a joy for me on Thursday night just to kind of look around the room and see a good number from our class that are in discipleship and learning the Word of God. And that's what it's all about. And I've really been praying for our class in 2015. And I'm excited on January 4th to tell you about what God did in 2014 and where we're going in 2015. And on that day, I'm really praying a good number of us will make some commitments to the Lord that 2015 is going to be a year of growth unlike any other. And that begins with a commitment and a purpose in the heart. And I'm excited about that. So pray with me about it, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to dive into our series, Marriage Myths. Last week, we began a lesson on the parenting myth. And the parenting myth says that raising children will automatically draw us closer together as a couple. Now, it certainly can, but it doesn't necessarily always work that way. Sometimes it doesn't go according to plan. A pastor and his wife decided to have the church leaders and their wives over for a dinner, and it was around the holidays, much like what we're going to be doing tonight. And so they were making all the preparations, and they wanted to be a blessing to these leaders who served and volunteered and helped out around the church. And so they cleaned the home, and they made the food, and they got everything ready to go, and people began to arrive, and it was time for the dinner, and they were fellowshipping and greeting one another, and then everyone was making their way to their seats, and it was just about ready to begin. And so the pastor greeted everyone and then was preparing for prayer, and his wife suggested that their four-year-old daughter pray for the meal. Now, one suggestion, don't encourage that tonight. And that's why we have the kids stay here anyway. But in this case, they said that's what they would do. And the little girl looked up at her mom and said, well, Mom, I'll do it, but I don't know what to say. And her mother looked at her and said, well, honey, just say what you've heard me say. And so the little girl bowed her head and closed her eyes and folded her hands and said, oh, dear Lord, why are we having all these people over to our home? Now, I promise you, that is not our spirit about tonight, all right? We have six home fellowships tonight, And our heart is we hope everybody comes. And hopefully we got everybody's name under a home fellowship. We worked on that this week. If we miss you, it's my fault, but we want you to come. So see me after class. We'll get you assigned. But we do want you to be a part of that tonight. And we do want to host and fellowship with you. You know, sometimes that happens in parenting and raising children. We studied last week from Psalms and Proverbs that children are a gift from the Lord, that mothers and fathers can have a tremendous influence in the lives of their children, and it indeed can draw their family unit closer together if it is being done according to God's plan. And that's really where we spent an emphasis last week, looking at, first of all, understanding God's perspective. And we talked about the fact that a loving marriage is intended for a lifetime. That's the way God designed it. That should be our feeling about it as well. We talked about that fact that children are a precious gift from a gracious God. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, but they are, and we need to be so thankful for it. And then we talked about our purpose is to prepare our children for a God-centered adulthood. We are preparing our children for a lifelong relationship with God, and we want to be sure we're stewarding that opportunity to the best of our ability. Let's jump into new material this morning as we finish this lesson on the parenting myth. Secondly, I want us to see, understand how to strengthen your relationship while parenting. I love family ministry. I love meeting with couples. I love talking with couples. I love reaching couples. I love counseling couples. I love teaching couples. I love couples retreats. I am passionate about family ministry. And I believe that being a father and a mother can be a strengthening time in the relationship of a couple. But I have learned it can also be a time of great estrangement and a time of great discouragement and even dissension among mom and dad when it comes to the area of rearing children. And we have to learn how do we strengthen our relationship as husband and wife while parenting. Dennis Rainey said, "Your children need to see your devotion and commitment to your spouse even more than they need to see your devotion and commitment to them." Now listen, that kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of a lot of liberals' necks. But just listen to me. Your children need to see your commitment to your spouse supersede your commitment to them. Why? Biblical order. Biblical order. Mom and dad are to be one flesh. Mom and dad are to be an authority. So when Johnny knows that mommy sides with Johnny, despite what daddy has said, you've got a problem. You're out of order. That's not God's plan of order and authority that God has established in the home. Man, we're off to a good start. Here we go. All right. So resolve conflicts with your spouse. Forgive each other. Remain faithful. These qualities of love build a powerful, profound sense of security in the children. Boy, Brother Roy, I think if we did that, our kids would just really question our love. Quite the opposite. There's a sense of security birthed in the heart of a child when they know mom and dad are committed to one another. Listen, I'm involved in a lot of family ministry where this child is bouncing from mom to dad here. This child's bouncing from mom to dad here. We don't know when we're going to see so-and-so. We don't know when this is going to happen. I promise you, that breeds no security in the heart of a child. But when they know that mom and dad are smack dab in love with one another, committed to one another, and in agreement and in unity on everything together, even though it may not be that way all the time behind closed doors, there's just a security that that brings to the heart of a child that is so needful and so necessary. And so how can we strengthen our relationship while we parent together? A few thoughts. Letter A. Settle early on where you stand on the issues of life. Settle early on where you stand on the issues of life. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Where do you stand on doctrinal beliefs? Have both of you committed that what God says do, you will do, and what God says don't do, you won't do? Does this book have authority in your life and in your home? That's a good decision to make. God knows way more than I do. God created me. The air that I breathe is a gift from God. My wife is a gift from the Lord. My four children are a gift from the Lord. He taught me through His Word how to be a Christian, how to be a husband, how to be a father. I should give the principles in this book authority in my life. That's a decision I need to make. And by the way, it's a decision we all need to make. Amen. And we need to be in unity on that decision. Thus saith the Lord, should be all it takes in our home. Is there agreement? Is there unity on doctrinal beliefs? How about moral values, purity, things of this nature? Is there agreement in your relationship? I would say in those areas, take the highest standard. If dad thinks this is where we should be and mom thinks this is where we should be, or if mom thinks this or dad thinks this, however you discuss it between yourselves in areas of boundaries and caution and so forth, whoever has the highest standard, just say, you know what? We're going to stick with that. We're just going to take that. I don't know that we can be too careful. You know what I mean? I don't know that we can put up enough safeguards. I don't know that we can get far enough away from the cliff. There's a Satan who hates the guts of our children, who wants to destroy their lives, who wants to render them ineffective, who wants them to live a life that they absolutely hate getting up every morning. I don't want to see that for my four children. I don't think you want to see that for your children. And so God teaches us, be careful. God teaches us to come out from among them and be a separate. God teaches us to be peculiar. God teaches us to be separate. God teaches us to be separated. And those things we need to do. And in our home, we need to be agreed. What are we going to watch on television? What rating of the movie is okay? How much cursing, nudity, all those types of things? What's allowed in the four walls of your home? Are you in unison? Is it one way when dad's home and another way when mom's home? This movie is okay when this parent's here, but oh, don't even ask when they're home. Is that the way it is? Or is it unified? Is it the same? Is it consistent? That's the way it should be in our home. And there needs to be a discussion. Are we on the same page? And I'm imploring you this morning, raise the standard high. Wouldn't it be great to raise children who didn't know what curse words were? Wouldn't it be great to raise children who did not know what a physical relationship was, despite what mom and dad have? Wouldn't it be great to raise children who just had a genuine sense of sincere love towards people? Because so much of the wickedness, violence, and hatred, they're just unaware of. And I'm not saying rear them in a bubble that they're not ready for society, but I am saying protect them from the wicked things of this world. There needs to be some agreement. That could be a whole other lesson. Some priorities for spending time together. Where do we agree? Priorities of spending money. My soul, man, if couples decide we will never argue about money, they will most often keep that decision. What are the priorities on spending money? What are the priority on entertainment? Recreation choice, we talked about that. Dating guidelines, that's a whole date for you and your spouse to talk about. Where do you draw the line there? As far away as you can, right? About 30 or 35, I think, is a good dating age. So I've got three girls, and that's about where I'm at right now. So, amen. Then educational decisions. Where are they going to get their education? And honestly, each one of those little thoughts really could be a lesson. But the idea is unity. Talk about it. Where do we stand? What is our home structure? Where do we fall? Where's the line drawn? Well, Brother Rule, we just kind of don't draw any lines. That's a problem. Because we need protection. A home with no lines drawn is like a train with no tracks. It's not going anywhere. You have to have them. You have to have structure. You have to have protection. You have to have safeguards. You have to. You have the lives of the future in your hands. You're preparing them for a relationship with God. Well, I just kind of hope they all figure this out. No, God gave them you to figure it all out. And we want to be the right kind of father and mother in their life. Settle early on where you stand. Letter B, maintain a unified front as parents. The Bible says in Romans 5:15, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've got to make sure that we have a unified front. Now, does that mean we're always going to agree as husband and wife on everything? Of course not. I don't know that two human beings agree perfectly on every little thing, but it should appear to your children you do. If Suzanne and I have a disagreement about something, that should be talked out in private. Why do we disagree? Is it my pride? Are one of us struggling with the biblical principle? Are we using the situation with the children to play out an agenda that we have? What's the issue? Why are we not in agreement? And let's just determine we're not leaving this room nor going to bed until we agree. We work it out. And eventually she wins and we move on. You know, no. But you got to make sure you agree. She lets me win every now and then, you know. But make sure you agree, all right? Now, how to maintain a unified front. A couple of simple thoughts. I don't know if you have these or not. If you do, we'll go fast. When you disagree, do so privately. I recognize when we say that, we may not get 100% in that category, all right? But can I just challenge you between now and we have class next Sunday? Don't argue in front of the kids. Don't argue in front of the kids. If there's something that needs to be worked out, have enough respect for one another as husband and wife and father and mother to get in a private place. Don't demean your spouse in front of the children. Don't raise your voice to your spouse in front of the children. Don't say something criticizing or condescending about your spouse in front of the children. Hey, we're supposed to be building each other up in front of the children. Man, Dad's home. This is great. Man, Mom, that was a wonderful meal. This is awesome. That's the spirit in front of the children. And by the way, that spirit should be real in our heart as well. And if that's not there, we're in a class like this to get that going, all right? We'll talk about that next week. I think it's are we on the romantic lesson next week? I think we are. So don't miss it. But anyway, so it should be sincere in our heart, but it should be lived out for our children as well. Discuss potentially divisive issues ahead of time. Anticipate and prepare. We're coming into the holidays. Oh, the pleasure of Thanksgiving and Christmas and family and all of that. You know what that is for a lot of families? Stress. Frustration. Arguments. We're over budget. We got to spend how much time with who? What? I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff that comes up with the holidays. Talk it through. How much are we going to spend? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How's it going to work? Talk it through. You can wait till the moment and have an incident, or you can talk it through now and prepare and be on the same page. Avoid conflicting expectations of your children. Agree. Confer with one another before answering. On some occasions, you don't always have to do that, but on some things, it might be wise to say, you know what, let me check with Mom. Hey, you know what, let me check with Dad before I answer that. I want to make sure. Just make sure. Rather take a minute to make sure than give a conflicting answer or expectation to your children. Don't side with your child against your spouse. Never. Don't side with your child against your spouse. Even if in your heart you feel like, my spouse is wrong. You say to your child, honey, that's what Dad said. And then when you and your husband are alone, you say, no, honey, I know what you said to Johnny. But what you don't know is that boy hit him 10 times at school today. Or whatever, you know. And he might say, well, Johnny needs it. It's making him tough. You know, I don't know. But anyway, whatever the situation is, whatever the rationale is, discuss it in private. Brother Rule, are you trying to help us present a facade to children? No. I'm just trying to help you present something to your children that they want someday. Because a lot of young adults I work with want marriage nothing like their parents. Basically, in my premarital, it's Brother Rule, how do we not have that? What a sad commentary. I don't want Mariah, Lydia, Annalena, and Joseph someday to say, boy, as long as it's nothing like Mom and Dad, we're in good shape. I hope in their hearts they say, we'd kind of like to have what Mom and Dad had. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't perfect. And we saw them work through some things and ask for forgiveness and get some things right. But it was a good thing. And that's what we should want. And so we want to be in unity. Then letter C, do whatever necessary to get regular time together as a couple. Boy, having children is a wonderful thing, but sometimes it really strains the time that we have together. So do whatever it takes to get some time together. Man, we've got work or school and children and this thing and that thing and class and church and all these things are on the plate. How do we do it all? And it takes planning and it takes communication, but make sure you're getting time together. A couple of ideas quickly. Pray together at bedtime. If every couple would just hold each other in their arms and say, honey, let's pray before we go to bed. It would be a blessing, I promise you. Read a book with one another or together or separately and then talk about it. Grab breakfast or lunch together from time to time while the kids are in school. Take a walk together. Hire a babysitter and go on a date or get some time together that way. Attend the couples retreat. Man, the couples retreat's coming up. February 6th and 7th of 2015. Every man in this room right now ought to secure those dates. Get that Friday off work. Start saving up the money and saying, honey, we're going. We're going to be a part of the couples retreat. We're going to invest in our relationship. Call on the grandparents if you need to get some care or whatever. Take a second honeymoon, but get some time together. And then letter D, share in the responsibilities of parenting. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, reminding us that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And we want to help one another. In every facet of parenting, it should be teamwork between dad and between mom. Now, maybe one spouse works and the other does not. Maybe both work. I don't know the dynamic of your home. But when it comes to parenting, irregardless of the work situation or the schedule dynamic, both mom and dad should be in partnership when it comes to helping with the children, maybe with the home, maybe with the meals, certainly with the parenting, training, and disciplining of the children, the correction and such. That should be a shared responsibility. That should not all be on mom, and that should not all be on dad. Well, this happened, let's wait till dad gets home. Well, you take care of it. It shouldn't be that the kids every day just, you know, when dad comes home, they run under the bed because all the discipline now has to be caught up that he's home. There needs to be a shared responsibility in that, and vice versa. And there needs to be a shared responsibility in training. Every child needs a mother, and I'm an advocate for mothers being home with children and so forth. I just see so much value in that, not to mention the biblical teachings on it as well. But that's not to say that children don't need dad at home. Children need dad at home. And far more important than me being involved in this, that, or the other is being at home and raising and training my children. And by the way, that can be done with other things, you know. Annalene and I went out last night and made some soul winning visits together, had a little date and such. And you can incorporate the time with your children and other things, but you want to be sure you're doing that. So share in those responsibilities. And thirdly and lastly, understand one another's roles. And I want to give these to you quickly as we close. The biblical role, letter A, of the father. The biblical role of the father. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. We want to be the right kind of fathers. And I want to give you this simple description that Dennis Rainey authored. First of all, men, we should be the manager of the home. The Bible says in Psalms, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Now, no doubt, God has given us a wonderful treasure in our wife. I think all of us men would unanimously agree we married way over our head. This indeed is our better half, no doubt about it. But God has given us responsibility. God has given us authority in the home. We will answer to God someday for our home and therefore need to be the managers of it. We need to work in tandem with our spouse. We need to be in agreement. We need to be unified, but we need to be involved. We need to know what's going on. And I like the biblical challenge. Don't just know what's going on. Lead by example. Be the manager. Be the one who is modeling for your home what should be done. Not only a manager, we should be a minister. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:1 and 2, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Men, we need to be the one fanning the spiritual flame in our home. It needs to be dad out in front. It's family devotion time tonight. Here we go. Not our wives coming to us, honey, are you going to turn the TV off and read the Bible or do you want me to? I mean, good night. And I'm not saying there may not be a few minutes for a football game from time to time. But guys, we're managing the home. This is the schedule. This is when we do devotion time. And I'm going to be there and we're going to do it. Why? Because our children are going to grow up knowing a daddy who's in this book teaching them the Word of God. More than I teach them about my favorite football team, more than I teach them about this area or that area. I'm not saying those things in and of themselves are wrong. But far more important than any of that, it's teaching them this book. And it need. And by the way, we may be gone on business. We may be out of town a night or two. And our wives might lead that area of devotion in our family. I get that. But I just believe when daddy's home, dad, step up to the plate and lead. I don't even know what to do, Brother Rule, and I'm not trying to put you down. Then come see me. And I'll give you some ideas of some devotionals that we've done or some different things that I've done with our children have been of different ages. A great idea is read the proverb of the day. Just get the proverb that correlates the chapter with the date of that day. So today you read Proverbs chapter 16. And there's a lot of practical thoughts. And you might just think of one as you're reading it and then share it with your family. That's an easy thing to do. Maybe read half of the chapter. Maybe read 5 verses of the chapter. I don't know. Or I'll give you more ideas afterwards. But I just want to encourage you men, lead and lead in the ministry of your family. And then model Psalms. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Dads, our faith should be modeled for our children. They should know a dad who loves God, who loves their mom, who loves the Word of God, who reads the Word of God, who prays, who goes to church, who loves going to church, who's involved in the things of the Lord, who is serving God. Dennis Rainey said, an incredible way to model God's care is to lavish affection and encouragement on your children. We as dads should never stop embracing our children, hugging our children, showing affection to our children. We want to be engaged in their lives and we want to fulfill our role as fathers. And then let her be the biblical role of a mother. And 2 Timothy 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. One of the things Timothy had going for him, yes, the mentorship of Paul, but a godly mother. What does a godly mother look like? First of all, a godly mother should strive that her children know that she loves her husband. I love the theme of our time together this morning, that children need to know a dad who loves their mom and a mom who loves their dad. There's just a strength. You say, Brother Rule, do you want our kids to think we hate them? Of course not. Your kids should know you love them. They should know you care for them and are nurturing them and training them. But they need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is a love between mom and dad. Why? Because how many of their friends have moms and dads who are divorced? How many of their friends are they hearing as we're heading into Thanksgiving and Christmas about, well, I'm over here for a day, and then I'm back over here for a day, and then I'm here this weekend, and then I'm over here doing this. They're hearing that all the time. And you know what they're thinking in their mind? I wonder if mom and dad would ever do that. I wonder if that would ever happen to us. I wonder if I would ever be doing that. And you want to make sure your behavior as husband and wife is affirming in their heart every day, we're doing fine. We're rock solid and we're together. A mother's convincing her children that she loves them. And no one can do that quite like mom. Convincing her children that she will sacrifice herself for them. Some of you moms put so many other things aside for yourselves and your own lives to live for your children, and the Lord will bless you for that. Convincing your children that they know they're the top priority in their life of their mom. It's not a Facebook update. It's not a shopping sale that's coming up. It's the children. And thank the Lord for some of these other things that we enjoy in life, but the children are God's gift to us. And then that their children will know that their home is a priority, a place that we're making as God would intend for it to be. So how can we grow and strengthen our marriage relationship while parenting? How can we do that together? We need to be in agreement. We need to be in unity, which we need to communicate and discuss and get on the same page. And then we need to communicate and present that united front to our children. And then we need to fulfill our own roles. And there's roles for dads and the roles for moms. And we want to know what they are from the Word of God, and we want to fulfill them and execute them with excellence. And I want to encourage you, whether you've been in church your whole life or today's your first time ever, I just want to encourage you this morning that God loves you and God wants your home to be a pattern after the Scriptures and to be one that is rearing children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. None of us are capable of doing that on our own, but with God's help, every one of us can. And we have a passion in our His Design class to study the Word of God, apply those truths to our hearts, lives, and homes, and see what God can do in us. And let's pray that God will do that this week. And then let's not miss that time of fellowship together tonight. And if you'd like to sign up for the Family Ministry Day, there'll be men at the back doors as we dismiss in just a moment. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege to come and to gather together today. Thank you for your blessings upon our class and all that you are doing. Indeed, what a privilege it is to be here. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for every person that is gathered today. I love them and am praying for them. And Lord, I pray that we would strive to govern and structure our homes according to your word. Help us to strengthen our marriage relationship this week, even while we're parenting or preparing our home for that phase someday in the future. Bless the remainder of our day, our fellowships tonight, and our time of activity this Saturday as we minister to the needy. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.